With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. A big happy new year to you all, and coming up in this week's show, we're going to be looking back at all the results from this past weekend with James Hayes. We're also going to have a full fixture preview with North East non-league journalist Mark Carruthers, and we'll be catching up with the managers at Ashton United, Witton Albion and Whitby Town. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Welcome. So, happy new year, everybody, and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. Coming up in this week's show, we're going to be hearing from the management at Ashton United, Whitby Town and Witton Albion. And later in the show, we're going to be having a full fixture preview for all those Northern Premier League, Premier Division fixtures for this weekend, as we'll be joined by Mark Carruthers. But before all of that, it's now time to wish a jolly good happy new year to the one, the only, James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
How are you doing, Ben? How are you doing tonight? Happy New Year as well.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year, James. Happy New Year. All right, so we should also mention as well, there is a Division 1 show out also on this channel, which has got loads of interviews from Division 1 North and Division 1 South with the management from Prescott Cables, from Scarborough, from Clitheroe, from Alva Church, from Basford United. I'm missing some. And Bedworth United. Good memory, Ben. And Bedworth United. So all those interviews available on this very channel now on the Division 1 show. But this week we're looking at the Premier Division when it comes to the NPL show. And James, we've got you on for a look back at the results from this past weekend. And well, there's only one place we could start. And as I said, we are going to be hearing from Carl McCauley shortly at Witton Albion. But Altrincham still lead the way. They've opened up a bit of a gap up at the top of the Premier Division, a 7-point gap now, and they've got two games in hand over the team in second place, that's Workington. On Saturday, they did pick up a 3-0 away win at Colville, Altrincham, but we do have to talk about this match on Monday, Bank Holiday Monday. What a game of football. Altrincham 3, Witton Albion 4, in front of a crowd of just over 1,000 there. The game literally ebbed and flowed, it's the only way I can describe it. Witton were 1-0 down, then they went 2-1 up, then they were 3-2 down, and then they won 4-3 at the end, James. What an advert for the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the fixtures from the Bank Holiday games show that this league is still wide open. But what a result that is for Witton Albion, coming back from 3-2 behind the dying minutes as well. Witton Albion have gone out and performed and done what they need to do over the Christmas period.
Well, it sees Witton Albion into ninth position in the league and now 4 points from the playoff position. So they're back in play when it comes to the playoffs. And let's hear now the thoughts from the management at Witton Albion. Please welcome back to the show, manager at Witton Albion. Here's Carl McCauley. So welcome back to the show, Carl. And well, there's only one place we could start, really. That cracking game at Moss Lane, over 1,000 people there. You go 1-0 down, then 2-1 up, then 3-2 down. And then you take all the points right at the end. A superb occasion and a superb result for Witton Albion.
Yeah, it was really. And, you know, before the game, you're heading towards the game and you're thinking tactically, what could we do? But then you think to yourself, in my opinion only, Altrincham are the best side in the league. And like I said, that's my opinion only, Ben. And tactically, you're trying to get things right. We played them early in August, Bank Holiday, and we come away from the ball and got bodies behind the ball and they blew us apart and they won the game 2-0. So we kind of had a different approach and we thought we'll give a bit for going forward, and that's what we managed to do. And we got over the line in the end and to score 4 goals against, like I said, in my opinion, the best team in the league speaks volumes of the performance, what we threw in.
And that takes you to the 40 points barrier. So by my reckoning, that's you nearly safe this season. But joking aside, I think when we spoke, you were saying top eight, I think, was your expectations. You wanted to finish eighth or there or thereabouts. What's your expectations now heading into 2018? Because you're only 4 points from the playoffs now.
No, that's right. And it always has been the top eight. You know, we've had a really, really tough time, Ben, in terms of injuries. You know, the three lads from the back four have all been out in them games, and Anthony Gardner, and, you know, Paul Williams, Anthony Brown, and Nick Ryan now with a broken jaw, all out. So it's been really, really tough. So at this present moment now, where we're just trying to get a few bodies in, And if you can get the bodies in, then, you know, again, we want to push on and we want to be up and in the top half of the table, and nothing changes. You know, if you finish 8 and above that, then the season's gone really, really well. And, you know, for us at the start of the season, the chairman put no pressure on us. He just wants us to survive in this league, and I think we're going to do that.
And you mentioned the injuries there, but you've not been standing still. I mean, Joel Bembolita joining the club as well just before Christmas. That's a cracking signing right there. And you've got the likes of, and someone we picked up on the NPL show, Owen Dale, on loan from Crewe. Exciting player. And we should mention as well, I've got Rob Hopley mentioned it, because obviously he was going to retire at the end of last season. He's been quite pivotal this year as well.
Yeah, we had to dip into the loan market, and we brought young Owen Dale in, and part of his development was to get minutes under his belt, and we've managed to do that. He's had some great performances for the club. He's kicking on, and like I said, he's a loan player, he's not our player, but he's enjoying his time at with Albion Football Club. And then on the other side, you've got Rob Hopley, who, yeah, he was going to pack in. We managed to persuade him to stay on for another year and try and manage his games as best as we can. And unfortunately, we haven't done that with the injuries that we've had. And we've moved Rob from playing up front to be playing at centre-back to help us out while we've had this nightmare of injuries. But yeah, all's gone well.
Obviously, this weekend, you've got that game. Are you playing Stalybridge? You've got that game, yeah, against Stalybridge away, which is going to be a tough game. And then you've got that interesting match against Ashton United the following Saturday, which, if results go your way, could be a playoff crucial match. What's your thinking now?
Well, I mean, we take each game as it comes, and between them two matches on the Tuesday, we've got Harden the Cup, and like I explained, it's really difficult at the moment because we're low on numbers, and I think the important thing for us now, Ben, is to bring players in to get us through these games that are coming thick and fast to us, and especially the games over Christmas where we played 4 games in 9 days. One of them games, we had a player sent off with Joel Bembolita. So again, the lads had to perform with 10 men and then get across the line and then look to play that big game against Ulti. So they've worked really, really hard. So it's really important now that we try and manage their time. But to do that, we've got to bring players in.
And just to finish the thing with this interview with a quote from Andrew Simpson, a friend of the show, he described that result on New Year's Day as could be a real coming of age result for Witten Albion. And well, it's a cracking result. And Cal McCauley, hope you take that into 2018. All the best for the new year, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, appreciate it.
So a big Happy New Year to Cal McCauley and everyone at Witten Albion, and Andrew Simpson as well. Happy New Year to you. You got name check there in that interview right at the end. Happy New Year to Andrew Simpson of the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Witten Albion certainly back involved in the playoff race. It's been a bit after you, Claude, when it comes to New Year's Day results, because I said on Black Country Radio on Friday that by like 5 o'clock on New Year's Day, Workington will be involved in the title race. If they got a win on Monday, that would have been the case, wouldn't it, James? But unfortunately for Workington, they couldn't follow up that superb win against Stafford Rangers, a 2-1 win on Saturday. They couldn't follow it up on New Year's Day. They got beat by Whitby Town at home by 3-1. And we will be hearing from Chris Hardy in a second. For Workington, what do you think? The opportunity was there, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first defeat. Their first defeat in about 8 for Workington there as well. At the same time, they wouldn't have been, again, a missed opportunity for them, and coming off a fantastic record at this moment in time.
But for Whitby Town, it does ease the pressure somewhat. I'm not saying they were relegation candidates, but they were dropping a bit towards that neck of the woods. So it was a very important result that for Chris Hardy's side. Let's hear what Chris Hardy has to say now. Here's the manager at Whitby Town. I caught up with him on Thursday. So welcome back to the show, Chris. And firstly, a big congratulations for that New Year's Day result. That's a fantastic result, that, against Workington.
Yeah, 100%. I think when we went into the game, obviously two sides with contrasting forms. It was 16 without a win. There was 16 unbeaten. So like you see, I think for the form book, it certainly went against that. you know, I'm very relieved to get 3 points on the board.
Now, obviously, we spoke to you a few times last season, and last season Whitby Town were had a fantastic season, challenging for the playoff positions. This season, it's not really happened thus far. There's still a lot of time to go in the season. What were your expectations going into this season? Because what was it like over pre-season?
I mean, things up until a point had went to plan in terms of the pre-season, in terms of the recruitment. I feel, unfortunately, we haven't been as clinical in both boxes, really. I think defensively, you know, we've looked a little less assured, and offensively, you know, losing 33 goals from the middle of the park in the form of Hobson, that was always going to have some type of effect. We just weren't sure exactly what type of effect. But like you say, you know, we're looking forward. Obviously, there's new personnel at the football club. There's a few people, like you say, moved on. If we look at, obviously, the turn of the year and the 3 points against Workington, there was a lot of, you know, reason for optimism. I believe, you know, it was one of the first time in a while, really, that we looked like a real goal-scoring threat, which, like you say, was a positive. So with that in mind, like you say, hopefully that'll give us a bit of a springboard to kick on for the second half.
And obviously, I think we've touched upon this on the MPL show. We saw you at Moss Lane against Altrincham, and quite easily that could have been a Whitby Town win there if some of those chances went in. It was just one of those occasions. And is that what you've been up against in the early stages of the season? Just that clinical edge, like you say?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, if we were stinking it out, then we'd have real reason for concern. We're not. The games are nip and tuck, and the league, I believe, is a more competitive league. And, you know, in my 3 seasons of involvement, it's as strong as I've seen it. As I say, it's small margins, you know, and whether that small margin is defensively being on point or alternatively, offensively, you know, taking your chances as and when they come, you know, they are the small margins. And I think it's safe to say, you know, obviously the start of the season, but we haven't been on point in that respect. And that it doesn't take a rocket science to work that out. Do we still play the way that I want the team to play? Yes. Do we control games for the most part? Yes. But again, we are going to be judged on what we do at both ends of the park.
And as you alluded to, obviously the likes of Dale Hobson leaving, going off to Blythe, hasn't helped fill that void of goal scoring and threat up front. But I don't think it's any coincidence that we've seen a slight upturn in form from Whitby when you've made some signings recently. Obviously, the likes of Kevin Burgess coming back from Darlow on loan. That's really helped shore things up, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, we talk about the two, you know, opposite ends of the park, and losing Shane Bland, arguably the best goalkeeper in the league, that's going to have an impact on what we do defensively. So yeah, the likes of Kev coming in, that's certainly, you know, strengthened our cause. You know, Kev's been a great addition, and long may that continue. We've brought in new centre forwards as well, and again, trying to get them up to speed in terms of how we do things at the football club and getting them bedded in. Hopefully, we'll see some positives there.
And a new goalie as well from York on loan, Ryan Whiteley, I think.
That's correct, yes. We've just extended the loan for the remainder of the season. So that's a positive from both aspects, you know, from his and ours. He's a proper goalkeeper. He's a young boy. He's still learning his trade. I believe the experience, you know, in and around this level will be priceless for him. And we're certainly in need of, as I say, a proper goalkeeper. So he ticks the boxes, definitely.
And obviously, we've just got, finally then, Chris, obviously we've come out of the busy festive period. It's looking like a game every Saturday now for the next couple of weeks, which is nice. Obviously, Whitby Town looking up now. Lancaster City this weekend, then Shoreley in the weekend after. What's your expectations for the remainder of the season for Whitby Town?
I'd like to see certainly an upturn in form and results. You know, like you say, we've given ourselves a platform, you know, as of working in the other day. So we've got to continue on the back of that. We realise, like you say, it's a it's a very tough league. We realise that we've got limitations and restrictions in what we can and what we can't do as a football club. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we can continue, you know, playing the football that we want to play, control games we want to control, and obviously on the back of that, defend properly and come up with somebody or some persons that are going to, you know, put a decent goals tally together from now to the end of the season, then I'm sure, you know, you'll see us at the right end of the table.
Well, Chris Hardy, manager at Whitby Town, all the best for 2018. Oh. Big thank you for coming on the show, and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks for coming on.
Very good. Appreciate that. Thank you.
So, Whitby Town manager Chris Hardy there. Happy New Year to everyone at Whitby Town, especially friend of the show, Andrew Snaith, of course. I feel like I should be wishing a Happy New Year to all our correspondents and pundits at this time, James. What do you think? Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. I did it for Christmas to all the radio stations, so it's all right.
Yeah, absolutely. a big Happy New Year to everyone. But that's Whitby Town. He's in a bit of relief there, I think, for Chris Hardy. And as we said in that interview there, they are looking upwards now rather than behind them. They've opened up a 9-point gap to the relegation places, and we'll cover off the relegation issue shortly. So Workington, 7 points behind league leaders Altrincham now, having played 2 games more. Grantham Town are in third position. It's been a relatively good weekend for Grantham. On Saturday, they didn't have a game, but on Bank Holiday Monday, they beat Matlock Town by 2-1, sees Grantham Town in third position. 8 points behind Altrincham, though, but it does mean that they're just 2 points ahead of Farsley Celtic in sixth position. So that was an important win there for Grantham Town to keep themselves in the playoff mix.
Yeah, I mean, granted, with Grantham there, the game that got called off would have been away at Shaw Lane as well. So it would have been a massive second v third at the time. But Grantham, again, doing what they need to do, and big winners on New Year's Day. The next few fixtures are going to be vital for them, though.
Now, Shaw Lane, you mentioned Shaw Lane there. Their match on Saturday, as you said, was postponed. So they returned to action on Bank Holiday Monday and played Farsley Celtic at Fossil's Nest. And, Shaw Lane dropped points here and Farsley Celtic gained points. Very, very important victory, this one. Farsley Celtic 4, Shaw Lane 2. See, Shaw Lane in fourth position now. They have got a fair few games in hand. They're 8 points behind Altrincham. And they have 3 games in hand, Shaw Lane. But they have to win those games in hand, more importantly. For Farsley Celtic, that does correct a bit of a slide that they've been on of late of results. I can only say it's down to inviting Adam Lakeland on last week's show. It must be that, surely. But a great result there for Farsley Celtic. Sees them 1 point now behind Warrington Town. And they sit in sixth position. On Saturday, Farsley Celtic drew 1-1 with Rush Olympic. So a decent weekend for Farsley, and a cracking result there on Bank Holiday Monday.
Yeah, another team that have made the most of the Christmas period. With Shaw Lane now, however, we mentioned last week about they've got to play Altrincham twice. I don't think Shaw Lane can afford another slip-up at this moment in time with Altrincham playing the way they are. It's more necessarily that they've got to win them 2 games against Altrincham if they do, the top of the league. But they've now got to look over the shoulder of everyone else as well.
For Warrington, they're the team currently finish off the playoff positions at the moment. They're on 44 points, 1 point behind Grantham Town and Shaw Lane. They do have a game in hand over Grantham Town, but they played 2 games more than Shaw Lane. They sit 2 points behind Workington, we should say, but Warrington do have 3 games in hand over Workington, so very much still involved in this. Warrington didn't have a game on Saturday, and they drew 0-0 against Marine on Bank Holiday Monday, which on the surface, if you look at the league table, his points dropped there by Warrington, but Marine beat FC United, they beat Chorley recently, so that's probably a good result there for Warrington.
Yeah, indeed so, but again, you've got to look at the form from the last, over the Christmas period as well. The third worst record out of the last 4 games, and you can see where the points are getting dropped. Granted, it has been a tough period as well, with Witten. The next couple of weeks are going to be vital. Looking at some of the fixtures in the next couple of weeks, that's going to decide, not going to decide the title as such, but you can start seeing a couple of teams starting to drop away if they're not careful.
Now, Warrington Town, they sit 9 points behind Altrincham, and they do have a game in hand. So if they win that game in hand, it's 6 points, which isn't insurmountable with about 4 months of the season left. So still all to play for, I feel. So Farsley Celtic there in sixth, 1 point behind Warrington Town, having played 2 games more. Ashton United, they're in seventh. However, they're starting to clock up some games in hand now. Their match on Bank Holiday Monday was postponed. But they did play on Saturday and beat Sutton Coldfield Town by 2-0. We'll come to Sutton Coldfield Town shortly. But Ashton United still involved in this, and intriguingly still involved in this.
One of the only teams not to be beaten over Christmas, the only one, other one being the game that got abandoned on New Year's Day against Buxton. But yeah, great opportunity to just get that back in the race. And we said it last week, and I think on the show as well, the main show a couple of weeks ago as well, Ashton are starting to pick that, get ready for a push at the playoffs. They've been away for quite some time. And speaking with some of the people at Ashton as well, they feel like they're now prepared to have that little go at the playoffs. They're a team that are progressing, and they're one of the teams that people have got looking out for next couple of weeks with the form that they're on at the moment.
So, Ashton United very much involved in the playoff picture, and joining us now is the manager at Ashton United. Please welcome back to the show, Jody Bannum. So, a big Happy New Year to you, Jody, and well, it is a Happy New Year at the moment. Ashton United are on an incredible run. You must be dead pleased with the recent form of the club.
Yeah, it's good, but we're unbeaten in 12 in all competitions at this moment in time. We're just sitting just outside the playoffs, unfortunately. So we'd have continued on New Year's Day. I was confident that we could have got the 3 points that have took us into the top five. But with games in hand, and we're sitting in quite a handy position right now. So it's quite pleasing. Obviously, we're only halfway, though, so it's only half a job done at the moment.
And that match against Buxton was the one that you know, it was an important game, that one, because Buxton are one of those teams, I don't want to call them the blob, but that's been mentioned on the show in the past, that mid-table blob,
yeah,
essentially, of teams who could put a run on in the next few months to get themselves in the playoffs. So that is an important game, and that one's going to have to be played at a later date. But Ashton United, like you say, you've been 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, that neck of the woods, pretty much all season now, it feels like.
Yeah, we have. We've been in and around those places without really being able to stay in. And I think mainly because obviously we've had a lot of cancellations. We've got 3 games in hand, 4 on some of the teams in and around us. So we'd rather have the points on the board than games handled at this moment in time. But obviously with our form, we'd hope to pick up. We'd hope to pick up quite a few points within those games in hand, and hopefully that'll give a fair reflection of where we are right now.
Now, obviously, at this stage of the season, a lot of clubs are deciding what to do next. A fair few clubs at the MPL level are taking in loanee players and making signings. You too have been adding to the squad in recent weeks.
Yeah, we've had two needs as much, really. We've got Jack Dyche has gone back to Scunthorpe, unfortunately. He's been with us since the start of the season. We've lost Matty Chadwick 4 weeks through a knee injury, and Alex Johnson's been out for 2 or 3 weeks with an ankle injury now. So we had all our three forwards were injured. So we brought Mike Norton in for a game last week, who did a job for us against Sutton, and we brought Saul Henderson in as cover as well. And we kind of had to mix up the formation a little bit and to obviously accommodate certain players with having forwards missing them, but it's worked quite well. But we are looking to add to that forward line,
and they are experienced players, and that's kind of what you need at this stage as well. So it's quite beneficial. I mean, Mike Norton's had a hell of a career, and has probably still got a few games left in him. And that's quite those characters are quite handy to have when it comes to this crucial stage of the season in your dressing room.
Yeah, he's been there, done it at kind of at the level that he's won promotion out of this league previously as well with FC United. So I think he did very well with Curzon Ashton also as well. And he did well for us against Sutton. And he came in, obviously, I don't think he's played much football this season. And he gave a decent performance considering the lack of football that he has had. I think, obviously, going forward, obviously we potentially need some fresher legs up there. Michael admit, obviously, he's come towards the end of his career now, but not saying that he can't do a job for us between now and the end of the season.
It seems odd now that because we've just come out of this really hectic festive period that we've just got a typical one league game a week now for a while, and that seems awfully barren and awfully sparse. But the games that you've got on paper, if you look at the league table, you go, oh, they're quite easy games, but they're not actually. You've got Marine, you've got Witton Albion, you've got Stafford Rangers. These are all banana skins, especially that Marine game this weekend.
Yeah, I think if you look at the fixtures coming up now, we've got a tough January coming up. December wise, if you looked at it on form and the table, we had the three bottom teams We've only actually played one of them. Obviously, the Stalybridge game got called off and the Hales Owen game got called off. So we've only actually played Sutton. On form, on paper, potentially those would have been points that we could have put on the board and would have taken us a lot higher and, as I said, showed a fair reflection of I think, where we are right now. I think we are a top five team. Obviously, you know, we need to catch up on games and hopefully we can put points on the board on those games in hand to reflect that. But, you know, nothing's really won on paper and obviously the games coming up now are tough. I think we've got the squad capable of obviously sustaining our run going forward in January.
Now, that'll teach me not to click the next week along because I missed off Stourbridge and Shaw Lane at the end of the month. Which
yeah, exactly. So, no, it's not. It's a tough month for us. I think we'll know more about us and you know where we're likely to finish by the end of January. If we're still in and around, I said by Christmas, if we're in and around the playoff places, you know, we'll have a really good chance. And I think the same come January now. If we're at the end of January and we're still in the thick of it, then I think we've got a really good chance of cementing those playoff places.
Well, Jody Bannum, manager at Ashton United, a big happy new year to yourself, all your coaching staff, all your players and everyone at Hurst Cross. All the best
thanks
for 2018 and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem.
I should say next week we're going to be having, I feel like David Dimbleby the way I keep going off on a tangent talking about future shows. Next week we will be having a bit of an FA Trophy special where we'll be hearing from all four managers still involved in the FA Trophy for that those big second round ties next week where Billericay Town will be hosting Stourbridge, so we'll be hearing from Gary Hackett, Dover Athletic hosting Marine, and we'll be hearing from Tommy Lawson. We'll also have Paul Carden on from Warrington Town. They'll be travelling to Ebbsfleet United, and we'll be hearing hopefully from one of the management team at Workington. They're travelling to Western Supermare. So more on the FA Trophy next week and some interviews there with managers to come in next week's MPL show. But back to the promotion race, and we mentioned Ashton United being involved in this playoff race. Hensford Town have popped themselves right in the mix, haven't they? They're sitting in eighth position now. They have played a fair few games more than everyone else, but points on the board, 3 points now from the playoff positions. A fine 2-1 win on Bank Holiday Monday against Stafford Rangers, following up that Lancaster City victory at the Giant Axe. It's been a very good couple of results there for Hensford Town.
Yeah, 3 straight wins as well, but again, wins that were vital for them at the moment. They've seen themselves gone from like lower mid-table now into the playoff race. Hensford Town have now got a shout in this, and they're a team that know what the conference is about.
Now, we mentioned Witton Albion being involved in the playoff hunt. Stourbridge, what a couple of results this is. Last week we were talking about Stourbridge saying they need to get results quickly. They need wins. Not only have they got wins on the board, they've got goals in the bag as well. 9 goals in 2 matches. On Saturday, they beat Marine away from home by 4-0. And then on Bank Holiday Monday, Stourbridge beat Rush Olympic by 5-0. Sees them now 6 points behind Warrington Town, having played the same number of games. So it's Stourbridge are back in this all of a sudden.
Yeah, I said it last week as well. If they needed the results against the teams that got over Christmas and New Year, and they've got the results that they need, okay, they've got to beat off Stafford Rangers on Boxing Day, but only very slightly. But at the same time, they get themselves geared up for running the FA Trophy as well.
And if Stourbridge are involved, Buxton are involved. They're on the same number of points as Stourbridge. I played one game more, as we alluded to earlier. Ashton United against Buxton, that match was abandoned. Buxton, though, they're still involved. They're still definitely involved, and that's because on Saturday they beat Hales Owen Town by 3-1 away from home. Would you say now, because Michelover Sports have played so many games more than everyone else, that we can now draw a line under 11th and say this is the playoff race?
I think Lancaster would have something to say with that personally, but I think some of the teams there, we're going back to what we say every season, it's them same 4 teams over and over again that will affect the season.
Michelover Sports still involved in this. 4 points over the past weekend. A 2-2 draw against Colville on Bank Holiday Monday. And on Saturday, they got a fine victory away at Nantwich Town. So Michelover still thereabouts. It's been interesting to know how Michelover do it, actually. Because I think last season they played more games than everyone else for ages. They must have a secret in getting games on at Micklehover Sports, because they have played a fair amount of games more than everyone else. Do you remember that season where they were above the relegation zone and we couldn't rule them out because of how many games they played?
Yeah, I remember that. It ended up being like the 17th place, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. They'd nearly played all their fixtures by February. It was weird. Anyway, so Micklehover Sports still involved in 12th position, 8 points behind the playoffs, having played 5 games more than Warrington Towns. But they are getting the points on the board, though. 4 points over the New Year's period. 3 games unbeaten now as well for Micklehover Sports. In 13th position is Lancaster City, and you said they'd have something to say about that. A 5-2 defeat at Bower Fold against Stalybridge. And at this point, I'm going to switch it around and talk about the bottom end of the table. It's been not the best of weekends for Sutton Coldfield. There was that victory there for Stalybridge against Lancaster City, 5-2, fabulous result there. And then Sutton Coldfield Town 0, Hales Owen Town 1 on Bank Holiday Monday. See Stalybridge Celtic now 3 points ahead of Sutton Coldfield Town with 5 games in hand. For Hales Owen, they've opened up a 7-point gap between themselves and Sutton Coldfield now, and Hales Owen still have a game in hand as well. It's that 2 important results there for both Stalybridge and Hales Owen.
Stalybridge, what a fantastic result that was. So they needed that just to pick themselves up a little bit after the last couple of weeks. We still can't rule out. I know they played more games at this moment in time. So Sutton Coldfield, I've got opportunity. Especially with the one main fact for Stalybridge at the moment is they don't like playing away.
This goes to show you the precarious nature that Sutton Coldfield are in. They had a few good results and they closed the gap. Two good results for Hales Owen and Stalybridge Celtic, and all of a sudden the work's got to be done all over again for Sutton Coldfield. So this is where Richard Snakers really has to show his experience and get Sutton Coldfield back on the bike again, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, again, if it was 4 going down, you start to worry a little bit about Stalybridge and Sutton Coldfield. But the fact it's only 1, again, Sutton Coldfield, they were dead and buried about 6 weeks ago. Everyone was saying it. They've got themselves back into the situation. Yeah, they're 4 points behind. Okay, they're 3 behind, but let's say they're 4 because of the goal difference at this moment. They've got back into it. The form's, look, the Christmas form's been poor, but it's not over. And anyone who rules them out now, we look like a fool in the next couple of weeks. They've got to start getting the points on the board now. Give it a couple of weeks, and if Stalybridge start to find the home form a little bit, it could be game over then. But they're doing the job at this moment in time, and they've not got the worst home record anymore. That belongs to somebody else in the league, which we'll mention in a second. It's down to them now to prove what they can do. They've done it once before. Can they do it again?
Marine. Yeah. I was just thinking then, who's got a worse home record than Sutton Coldfield? Marine. Yeah, it's Marine. Yeah. That's strange, isn't it? Because
yeah, it's like with Stalybridge as well. Look at their home record compared to everyone else's.
Where are they? Blimey, the 6th. Got the 6th best home record in the league, Stalybridge Celtic. Good stats, yeah. James. Well played. Anyway, you can tell which websites we visit, dear listener, as well. I think we've covered off all the results now. I'm just seeing if we missed anything. I feel like we've missed... We mentioned Barwell. Mentioned Barwell 2-2. We mentioned the 1-1 for Rushall and Farnsley Celtic. We mentioned the Rushall-Stourbridge result. I think we've covered everything. Have we missed... Barwell 0, Nantwich Town 2. There. Covered everything.
Right, Nantwich Town aren't the relegation candidates at this moment in time. Maybe if results go their way, they've still got half a chance for the playoffs, but they've got potentially 1-2 shots at that left. But again, with the games in hand they've got to play, they can easily get us out of that relegation fight.
Right, James, from the league, Hello. A big thank you for coming on. Have you got any parish notices that you need to publicise? We're all good.
We're all good for this moment in time. There might be one that I need to mention on the monthly show, but that's a working project.
Okie dokie. Well, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us this week. You have a lovely week, and thanks for coming on the show.
No worries, man. Thank you very much.
So, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show, and it's now time to look ahead to the matches for this weekend. Saturday, the 6th of January, 2018. The second matches of 2018. And joining me now, it's not second rate, it's first rate punditry of the highest order. It's Mr. Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark, how are you?
I'm not too sure about that, but yeah, I'm good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Mark, and everyone in the non-league world of the North East. Just a plug. We always plug at the end, and I feel like we should actually plug at the start. Mark, you're a non-league journalist from the North East of England. You do loads of stuff, including a glorious podcast up there as well. So give it a good plug at the start. Go on.
Yeah, the North East Football Podcast pretty much says what it does on the tin. It's just that we'll cover everything from non-league, from the Northern League up towards the Premier League. And, you know, have guests, mostly non-league guests, if I'm honest, the likes of Tom Wade, former Blyth Spartans manager, Barry Heinsohn, a former BBC, used to work for Radio Newcastle, someone who's been in the non-league game for about 40 years now. So we've got plenty of good guests who know the game, players and managers from the non-league scene up here. So we are on iTunes, just search for North East Football Podcast. And we're also on Twitter at NEF Podcast.
Excellent stuff. Right then, that's the plug out the way. Let's talk about this weekend's matches and an interesting game of football taking place in West Yorkshire at Throstle's Nest this weekend. Farnsley Celtic against Altrincham. Mark, have the wheels come off?
No, far from it. far from it. First of all, credit, and I was going to say this later on, credit to Witten for an unbelievable result. You know, beating Altrincham away 4-3, two goals in the last 10 minutes, I think it was. Credit to Witten, but no, Altrincham, far from it. You know, they're still in control of the league. They are still 7 points clear with two games in hand from Workington. We've got too many good players to let this slip. The likes of, you know, Jordan Hulme's been in great form this season, even on 17 goals. James Poole, people like that are going to, you know, they've done it higher. I can't see past Altrincham win this, and it is a slip up, but Saturday is going to be a tough game. I think we know what Farsley are about. They've got plenty of players who can, you know, win a game on their own, the likes of Nathan Cartman. It's going to be a tough one. I think I'll sit on the fence with this one a bit and say this will be a draw.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, Farnsley Celtic, it was looking a bit sticky for them, but they came on last week's show and they got 4 points over the festive period as a result of coming on the show, obviously, including a superb result against Shaw Lane. So it looks like Farnsley Celtic might be coming out of that sticky patch that they've had just in time to start challenging back in the playoff position. So it's a tough game, this one, and a tough away. And, you know, the conditions here in the north of England at the moment, what was it, 100-mile-an-hour winds in the hills over the last couple of days. It's not going to be conducive for football, the conditions there in Leeds, is it?
Not at all. One thing about the Shaw Lane game, obviously, we should say at Farsley, big credit to them for coming back from two goals down. Obviously, two goals down after about 15 minutes, and to come back and win as comprehensively as they did, that shows a, you know, good attitude, good spirit in the side. It really is going to be a tough test for Altrincham. The pitch will be, I dare say, or the conditions, the weather conditions as well, will make a big difference in this game. But I am massively sitting on the fence, and I apologise for that. But I think this one will be a 1-1 draw.
Now, I don't mean to use Boom Bang A Bang Saturday too often, because I do feel like I use it pretty much every other week, but it's true this weekend. Farsley against Alty is a big game, as is Workington against Shaw Lane. And we talk about the conditions in West Yorkshire. What are the conditions going to be like in the west coast of Cumbria? I think it's going to be quite breezy, let's say. But it's an interesting game, this one, because I can only blame myself. I went on Black Country Sport last week with Adam Parks, and I said at the end of this festive period, Workington will be challenging, will be considered title challengers. And if it wasn't for that win against that win for Whitby, that might be the case. But they dropped points, didn't they, on New Year's Day, as did Shaw Lane. So it's a question of who's got the best bounce back ability for this weekend. Oh, I feel horrible now. Sorry.
Yeah, you should do. Yeah, you know, it's obviously a slip up at home to Whitby again, especially after going ahead. But I think Whitby, and again, we'll talk about them in a moment, slightly different Whitby you're facing these days. So you can maybe discount that as a one off for Workington as well. It's a tough game, it really is, to call this one. Workington probably going in slightly better form, them being at home. Again, the conditions are going to play a massive part. As you say, it's bad enough. You know, I know how bad it is in North East England, so it'll be equally as bad in the North West in Cumbria. So, again, I think this one, I sit on the fence again massively, but I think this will be a draw.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's teams up at the top end playing each other. That's the safest call to make, I think, at the moment. And, well, Hales Owen Town had a great result against Sutton Coldfield on New Year's Day. Does ease the pressure slightly on Hales Owen Town? 7 points the gap now to the relegation spots. It must be a big relief for the Black Country side there. Hales Owen this weekend will be hosting Grantham Town. Grantham Town currently sitting in third position, 1 point behind Workington, 8 points behind Altrincham, but they do have two games in hand over Workington. Grantham, it's going to be a tough one this weekend for Hales Owen, but the Grove's never an easy place to go to.
It isn't, but I guess if one side can go and then get a result this season, and one side who keep compounding predictions that people keep making against them, including myself, it is Grantham. You know, I think a lot of people maybe thought they were going to slip away by now. The goals of Lee Shaw have been absolutely crucial in the two scored on New Year's Day against Matlock Town. I think, you know, as I say, if any side can go there, win, it will be Grantham, and I can see them sneaking this one. It won't be easy. As you say, Hales Owen, it is the stereotypical difficult place to go. You know, the pitch isn't great. They like to play quite a direct style of football. And I think it'll be tough for Grantham, but I can see them just sneaking it.
There's also Warrington Town. They're the ones currently sitting in fifth position. I should say there's varying degrees of games played. Shaw Lane are sitting in fourth. They've got loads of games in hand at the moment over everyone else. They've got five games in hand over Workington, who are just 1 point ahead of them. So Shaw Lane definitely still in contention, certainly. And then there's Warrington Town in fifth position on 44 points, 1 point ahead of Fazer Celtic. Warrington Town do have two games in hand. Warrington Town this weekend will be hosting Buxton. Buxton's an intriguing one all of a sudden, sitting in 11th. But fair to say they're sitting there basically because their game was abandoned on New Year's Day. But they did get a good 3-1 win against Hales Owen on Saturday. So Buxton, they've put themselves back in the playoff picture ever so slightly. It's an outside bet at the moment, but there's still a long way to go. So this is a tough game, this one, for Warrington, and I must not get beat, I feel.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think when you look at the league table, I think anyone possibly down to Micklover could be looking at the playoffs again. Micklover would be an outside shout given the amount of games they've played. But I think it's possibly one of the most open playoff races I've seen in the Evo Stick for a good few years now. When you think half the league could potentially end the season in the playoffs. But you're right, yeah, Buxton, just because of the goals of Liam Hardy, you know, he's gone back there and kind of hit the ground running. He's on 23 for the season. He's always guaranteed to score, or almost guaranteed to score goals, I should say. But Warrington, I think, with home advantage, with the quality that they possess in their squad, I think they'll win this one quite comfortably.
And that would see, obviously, that would see Warrington remain in the playoffs if they did get that win there. Fazer Celtic there in sixth. In seventh position, we've got Ashton United. And Ashton United, at the moment, well, the ball's in their court, isn't it, really? They've got they're 2 points behind Warrington. They've got a game in hand. They've got three games in hand over Fazer Celtic. And this week, they'll be hosting Marine. Marine, it's again like Hales Owen, it's a bit more comfortable for them nowadays. 7 points clear of the relegation zone. But Ashton United, they've got staying power, haven't they, at the moment?
They have, and I always think with Ashton, every year you think, yeah, they're going to be in amongst the playoffs, they're going to challenge, and they always seem to get so far and then sort of slip away, whether they make the playoffs or not. You know, I think they got beat, it was a Curzon Ashton a couple of years ago. But this year, I don't know, there's something different about Ashton. They just seem to be a bit more rigid and a bit more, just a bit more solid. Yeah, you know, the goals of Matt Chadwick, who's obviously been there for a few years, they've been key. Those games in hand are going to be crucial. If they can, you think if they can win at least two of those games in hand, they could be looking at being top three. Again, this one, Marine, they have improved recently. They have got a bit of daylight between themselves and, you know, the relegation spots. But I think Ashton, I can't really see past them for that one.
And then there's Hensford Town, and Hensford Town have definitely put themselves in the playoff race over recent months. They're on a three-game winning streak at the moment in the NPL. This weekend they'll be travelling to the Dabba Dome to take on Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town, their form's been a bit traffic light, to say the least, of late. A loss, a draw, a loss, a win. But the Hensford Town, it feels like, have got a bit of momentum behind them all of a sudden.
They have. I always think of Hensford as a, you know, big club in the Evo Stick. It's a great place to go, Keys Park, and it feels like a National League ground. If I'm honest, it doesn't feel like an Evo Stick, and that's all due respect to the Evo Stick. They are in good form. You know, their away record isn't great. I think they've lost 7-12. I think it is away from home. That'll need to improve. Nantwich, as you say, have been inconsistent. But a good result at Barwell last time out. We shouldn't forget that, a good result against Barwell. But I think Hensford, as you say quite rightly, with momentum, I think they could win that one.
And Witt and Albion are also in the playoff hunt. And obviously we heard from Carl McCauley earlier, a fantastic result that against Altrincham. And as we alluded to in that interview, fantastic occasion, over 1,000 people there, and a proper ding-dong with both teams taking the lead at various points during the 90 minutes. A cracking occasion there in South Manchester. But Witt and Albion, I think they're looking up more than down. And this weekend, Witt and Albion will be travelling to Bowerfold to take on Stalybridge Celtic. And the thing about Stalybridge Celtic is, it was looking a bit desperate for them at going into the New Year's weekend. But that win against Lancaster City is absolutely fantastic, isn't it?
It was. It was massive. And the thing with Stalybridge is, if they are going to stay in the division, then it's going to be built on the home form. You know, any sort of survival bid will be built on the home form. And I think I'm right in saying they've won half their home games. You know, so that is going to be the basis of any survival bid. But Witten will go there with, you know, buoyed by that result at Altrincham. To come back to, but they did look beaten, didn't they? You know, being 3-2 down going in the last 10 minutes, but two late goals to get a win at Witten, to become one of very few teams that have beaten Altrincham at home. Just a remarkable result. And again, you can't really look past Witten this weekend, especially the goals they've got on their side. You know, they're always dangerous going forward. So I think Witten might sneak that one.
And an important weekend we've just had for Stourbridge as well. Stourbridge, the form for Stourbridge, it has been very, very patchy, to say the least. But two vital wins. And Stourbridge this weekend will be hosting Mickleover Sports. And this one could see Mickleover Sports get themselves into the playoff hunt, or could it knock them out of it at this stage, or is it too early to say?
No, I think you're probably right to say that. I think that it does feel as if it's coming towards the kind of make or break for Mickleover. As I said, they are, you know, very much the outsiders in terms of the playoff race. But with that comes the situation where you go into games knowing if you lose more ground. And I think the quality of the teams above them would probably suggest there's not going to be too many slips apart from when they play each other. So I think Mickleover this game, as you quite rightly say, it's going to be make or break. But Stourbridge, we should say as well, credit to the Stourbridge fans for turning up against Rush Hall, a crowd of over 750, yeah. I think. Amazing turnout. Again, Stourbridge just feel like they've got goals on their side, and I think they'll win that one.
Buxton are in 11th, Mickleover in 12th. Then there's Lancaster City in 13th. They're 10 points outside the relegation places now. Lancaster City this weekend will be travelling to Whitby Town. And we obviously heard from Chris Hardy earlier. That was an important victory for Whitby Town against Workington. Does ease the concerns that they might have had that they were slipping down fast, the division. But as we were talking to Chris earlier, it has been a difficult first part of the season. But room for optimism with the likes of Kevin Burgess there, there's a bit of room for optimism.
There is, and obviously, as you know, I cover the Northern League quite extensively. One player to watch out for, scored on his debut at Workington, was James Fairley, a winger who's been around the Northern League, was at Mask, who are doing very well in the league this year. Will get goals for Whitby, he really will. He's a very talented winger, great set-piece taker. I think he could be a little star throughout the rest of the season. He'll be the one that will see them move away from those relegation spots. The problem, going back to Lancaster for a second, the reason I use them as my cut-off point is because they're averaging a point a game over the last 10 games. Mm-hmm. Just not really happening. That momentum isn't really happening for them. So I think that's why we can probably rule them out. So with them, you wonder, you know, what is their target for the rest of the season? Whereas Whitby have got something to... Well, they're probably looking over their shoulders a bit now. Yes, there's a gap to the relegation zone below them. But a few changes at Whitby recently, and it'll be interesting to see how the players react to that. Obviously, they brought in the likes of Junior Mondale, who was at who was at Middlesbrough last season. Jim's fairly going in there. And Burgess going back. Burgess is a key figure. Someone who's, you know, give them a bit of experience, a bit of know-how, and someone who I think will be a bit of a leader at the back when they'll need it.
Now then, a bit further, let's just finish off the mid-table battles, because there's a couple that we need to mention. Rush Olympic against Stafford Rangers this weekend, and we might as well throw in Matlock Town against Barwell as well. Just to mention for Stafford Rangers, when we spoke to Neil Kitching in the past, the feeling is that Stafford Rangers is, obviously it's a big club with lots of non-league history and pedigree, but it's also a club with a recent history of, what's the word, calamity off the pitch, and it's a case of steadying the ship over seasons to come, and if they can challenge for the playoffs, then great. But it does feel like Rush Olympic and Stafford Rangers, it might be a lost season for them this season, but I suppose, given the alternative, it's an okay season, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's what Neil's done well this season. He's just tried to settle things down, because I feel as if the last sort of 5 years at Stafford have been just non-stop change. But Neil's just steadying the ship a little bit. It's not going to be a spectacular season, but by the same token, it's not going to be a disaster. I think they probably would take mid-table now. You know, they are sat just below mid-table. And then, you know, have a summer of developing in the club on and off the pitch, and then go again next year. And I think Rushall may be the same as that. I still think Rushall could get sucked into something in terms of the relegation. I mean, they had a great little three-game running streak, didn't they? And then they've only won two of the next seven.
What was the other match I mentioned there? It was Matlock against Barwell, wasn't it? Matlock and Barwell, 15th and 16th in the league. At the moment, I, with all due respect, it's a classic mid-table encounter, it feels like.
It is, yeah. And again, though, because they are mid-table, it's one of those weird ones where a couple of wins could push it towards, you know, can we make the playoffs, which I think, again, is probably a stretch too far. But by the same token, if you're going to lose a couple of games, you then start looking over your shoulder and wondering what's going on behind you in the relegation battle. But I'll call this one a draw.
And finally, and a very significant game down the bottom end of the table, is Colville Town against Sutton Coldfield Town. Obviously, Colville Town have had a bit of an upsurge of late and found themselves back towards mid-table, and Sutton Coldfield too have had a little mini revival, but then that defeat against Hills Owen has kind of put the skids on things, and turning into a very important game this one for Sutton Coldfield, having played a lot more than the teams around them.
It is, yeah. I think it's probably too easy to say that probably they look nailed on for relegation, but I think it seems fairly obvious that they are. It would take a very strong run from Sutton Coldfield. The fact they have played more games than, you know, everyone except, I think, Whitby Town above them. Going to Colville is never easy. So I think Colville win this one. I can't see anything else. Sutton, there has been some good form recently, but that defeat against Hales, and the fact that they did push so hard to get a point in that game from what I've read, and then lost it by a single goal, I think Colville will come away with the 3 points in that one.
And obviously, that is the end of our Premier Division preview. And obviously, disclaimers, look outside your window on Saturday morning, and if you think to yourself, oh, that's a bit blustery, that's a bit wet, have a look at your club's Twitter feed and the evostickleaguewebsite.co.uk before setting off, just to make sure that your match is on. But Mark Rovers, a big thank you for joining us. A job well done. And just a final plug, how can people follow your work on Twitter and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @MarkRovers_. And as I say, follow the North East Football Podcast at NEF Podcast. Just a quick note for the non-league paper this week, for anyone, for the Evo Stick North Podcast. I think, by the sounds of it, there's going to be my interview with Graham Fenton and Julio Arca from South Shields, being a feature on their success of the last year and how they're going to try and replicate it throughout the next 12 months.
Brilliant. Well, Mark Rovers, a big thank you for joining us. All the best of 2018, and we'll be hearing from you probably next month. Have fun.
Thank you very much.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining us on this week's edition of the Evo Stick NPL show. Also, a big thanks to all our guests this week, Cal McCauley at Witton Albion, Chris Hardy at Whitby Town, and Jody Banham at Ashton United. And of course, who could forget James Hayes earlier in the show. And a big thank you to you too, dear listener, for tuning in. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest news from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the league website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL Show. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.